You're listening to Impact 103, and I am Owen Farley. So good to be with you this morning. I've already been with you during Brigitte's show, during the morning drive, and was so good just to chat with you guys with Alec Varinas on health. And it's so good because every single opportunity that we have to better ourselves, to learn, to expand and grow in different areas is so good. God has a call and a plan on our lives, you know, and it's receiving that call and getting into that call that is so, so important. And this is what the show is all about. It's about being real, about challenging the way that we think and be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ, which is love. You know, and hearing that song from Naomi Rain about this is the story I'll tell. Man, I love testifying because it really encourages everyone that is going through the same thing to be able to reach out to God and say, God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. And that's what we're going to start off today with, is actually just a testimony of how I was able to step out of a place of performance-based love, like we were talking about yesterday, and into what real love looks like, an unconditional love that only comes from God. And when I was speaking with my spiritual mother about this, she was telling me her testimony about how she also was doubting that God could love her. So what she would do is she would wake up in the morning and say, God, you love me. God loves me. And in the beginning, it sounded really awkward because you're just saying it, but you're not really, your heart really isn't in it. It doesn't really make sense to you. But the Bible does say life and death is in the power of your tongue, and those who indulge in it will eat the fruit of it. And she testified to me and said, you know, as I started doing that, there was this one morning when I got up and I said, God, you love me. And it struck my heart, it struck everything. And the power of God just came. And I had this revelation that he really does love me. And so I was like, man, Lord, if you did that for her, please do it for me. And so I started doing that as well, because I mostly was going through trouble seeing myself through the eyes of God. I could understand how God could love anybody else. And I was trying to love them as well. But then all of a sudden I realized I'm finding it very difficult to see God's love for me. And I had to make it personal. Instead of just saying, okay, yes, God loves everyone, it's like, no, God loves me. And so I started doing the same thing my spiritual mother did. And all of a sudden, God started changing my view on who I was. He started revealing to me what he created me to be, who, like what he was thinking when he made me. And that identity that I started receiving through the love of God changed my view of myself. And I remember that moment where the Lord showed me who I was, who he created me to be. He gave me an image, an actual image of what he created me for. And that changed everything for me. It changed everything. So stay tuned as we continue to talk about how unconditional love really opens us up to seeing each other through the eyes of Jesus and through the eyes of love. Because I'm telling you, this is the thing that changed my life, the power of the love of God. You know, one of the reasons that I've been so open on this show is the fact that I know that if God is doing something in my life, it being open about it and sincere about it and just being real really gives everybody the opportunity to that hears it to grab a hold and say, God, if you can do that for one, you can surely do that for another. So please do that in my life. And so hopefully some of the questions and the things that I went through in my relationship with the Lord are really able to help you make the next step in going deeper in yours and being open and vulnerable with God. Because, and the only way literally the only way that I was able to get to a place of being open and honest and vulnerable is because I experienced the love of God. I wasn't just told about the love of God or read the Bible about the love of God, but there was a place where the knowledge of what I was reading and what I was hearing hit home. I experienced and I met the person that is love, the person Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the person of my Heavenly Father. And through that encounter, that changed me. You know, he sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. And it says in Hebrews 4:13, it says, not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. He sees the hidden motives, intentions of our hearts. He sees it all. And that is ridiculous, and it amazes me, because God still wants relationship even though he sees what's happening in my heart. He sees the thoughts that I have. And like, let's just be real. A lot of those things are contrary to what God stands for. But God sees the potential in me. He sees me differently. In 1 Peter 4 verse 8, it says, above all these things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Now, why do you think God is expecting us to do that with others? Because he's done it with us. He has literally done it with us. He sees our potential. He looks past all the gross things that are happening, all the things that are tainted by sin. And he looks right past that and he sees who he created you to be. And how powerful is that if we're able to take that kind of love, that kind of view, and actually give it to the people that are around us. Not see them for what they're going through. Not see, okay, that person just did this and that person just did that. And like, oh my gosh. No, but to see past that and say, God, who do you see this person as? And then to uplift them to that level. To uplift them and say, man, can we sit down and have like a conversation? Because I'd really like to discuss something with you of something that I've just seen coming up. And all of a sudden, you enter into a place of love, but really be led. Don't just go around just saying to this person, oh, you need to change that, don't need to change that. A lot of times, God just asks us to pray for that person. But when we're led by the Holy Spirit and the divine moment comes, oh, that is when the change really happens, because the heart is ready to receive it. You know, it reminds me of that scripture, and I was talking about this with Stephen yesterday, that scripture that says, he who is forgiven much loves much. And I'd really like to play a song from C.C. Winans called Alabaster Box. And this song really hits me, because this woman gave her best for Jesus. She realized the cost, and she realized what Jesus did for her. And because of what Jesus did for her, because of that unfailing love that Jesus had for her, she was able to give God her best. So let's take a listen. When I played that song, Alabaster Box, from C.C. Winans, and we started speaking about he who has been forgiven much loves much, I really felt like I needed to read that scripture in the Bible. It's such a great story. So we're going to be reading from Luke 7:37, and it says, behold, a woman of the town who was an especially wicked sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment or perfume, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. And Jesus replying said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. A certain lender of money at interest had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no means of paying him, he freely forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I take it, for whom he forgave and cancelled more. And Jesus said to him, You have decided correctly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet tenderly and caressingly. You do not anoint my head with cheap, ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her, because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. This unconditional love that we need to experience, I feel like I can't get away from it this morning, is that I need to say that one of the big things that changed my perspective of what love is because I experienced this through some people. And I think that reality of experiencing the love of Jesus through the hands of people around you really gives you a sense that, wait, this kind of love is possible. And so when we giving the gospel and we are proclaiming the love of Jesus, it is so important to live it out. And I'm going to expose myself. I seem to be doing this quite a bit, but I was going through a really rough stage. I'd just been through like a bad relationship. It had ended me in like this really bad place. And so I had closed my heart. And so in being in relationships with other people, I had really closed my heart and said, I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm going to put up this wall. And so when the time came and I started opening up again and God was healing my heart, I ended up in the situation where I did something that in my perspective was seriously unforgivable. And I didn't come and confess it. It was exposed. And I don't know if you guys have been through that moment, but when something you're doing is exposed, it's hard. It's hard to see yourself in a way that God sees you, because all you can see is this thing that you've done. And I had the people around me, even though I thought it was unforgivable, not only towards God, but towards them. I had hurt them. I had done something towards them. And my spiritual family gathered around me and said, Owen, we could at the moment take this and say certain things about it. But right now what we really feel is that we need to show you the love of God. And we need to forgive you, and we're going to forgive you. And in that moment, I was broken. I was completely shattered that someone would be able to step beyond what seemed comfortable for them. They looked past what I had done. They looked towards me and they said, we believe in you. We believe what God is doing in your life. And this moment is just an opportunity for you to realize how much God loves you. Wow, that wrecked me, guys. That wrecked me so much. And it was through that moment of being exposed, being vulnerable, that I understood that I could trust the people around me, that they were looking at me and saying, we believe in you because we see you through the eyes of God. And we're going to show you the love of God so that you can reach your full potential. Man, that kind of love is what we need. That kind of love is the love that is going to change the world. It's going to change the atmosphere around us. It's just going to change it. You know, I think about Adam and Eve, and I think about God in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned. And this is exactly what God did. He looked at them and said, I believe in your potential. I believe in it. And so he made them righteous. Right then and there, he covered them. He covered their sin and said, okay, let's carry on in this relationship that I have with you. Let's move on to what really, really matters. And when I look at Adam and Eve's side on that, and I see there, they were, I mean, think about it. They were in this relationship with pure love. God was right there walking with them in the midst of the evening every day, and they were in that purest form of a relationship. Like the love they were receiving, it was not tainted whatsoever, but yet they still chose to go their own way. And what happened right there is that because sin came in, God was like, I'm holy. I can't be where sin is. I love you, but I need to pull back. And what did that create? It created a need in humans for love, because we were so used to it. We were so used to the purest form of what love is and being in that relationship. And then when it was removed from us, it created a need for love. And that's why every single one of us has a need for it. And we try to fill it with different things. We try to fill it with other relationships. We try to fill it with desires and dreams that we have, but nothing else satisfies that need for love. It is a love that we can only get from heaven. It is a love that we can only be filled by with the heart of God. And every single one of us needs to come back to that place so we can experience that love, which is unconditional love, leading us into a place of trust, which leads us into a place where we can be vulnerable and intimate. And that is really what we are desiring. Man, I want to take it all back to the foundational thing. And I really feel that Paul really describes it so amazingly in Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, everything else I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as a loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. With Him. So bringing it all back beyond whatever we desire, we're looking for, it all comes back to us knowing Jesus and actually having that experience. You know, Paul said that he considers everything else a loss. Nothing compares to knowing Him. And it's so true. Like, I can stand here and say, this is not just something that I'm reading, something that I've experienced, something Jesus grabbed a hold of me. Love grabbed a hold of me. And it was through that relationship that I had with Him that everything else seemed to kind of work out. I mean, God said He will use everything, even the bad things, for our good and for His glory. And He does that. He takes the situations that we're going through, He fills us with His love, and then He says, okay, let's get up out of that. Let's clean up. Get right with me and watch how I'm going to start working in your life right now and changing the outcome. So I trust God, and I pray that you trust Him just as much. And if you're looking for that love, just stop right now and ask Him, God, I need to know you through an intimate experience. Please give me that. Unconditional love sees me through the eyes of love and sees the potential that I have. And literally, that's what Jesus has done for us. He's forgiven us of our sins where we couldn't do it in our own strength. And He's given us a identity, a potential that we can really step into and we become, like the Bible says, a new creation. And I'd like to carry on with that scripture with Philippians 3. In verse 9, it says, and that I may actually be found and known as in him. Ugh, that is so good. Like when he transforms you, you can be actually found and known as being in him. Not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be self-called my own, based on my own obedience to the law's demands, the ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness, which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. And then he says, for my one determined purpose is that I may know him. Come on, guys. It's all coming back to that one thing, that my one determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And I must admit, that is my goal. Personally, I'm like, Lord, whatever else it takes, strip it all away, just as long as I have you, that I can know you. Because even in pursuing my call, pursuing the things that you've placed in my life, I'm never going to be able to reach them unless you're working in me and through me with your love, with your power. So I give it away. Let me just know you. So with that, we've come to the end of our time together, and I have to go. But I pray that you realize that Jesus is there with you, and he will never leave or forsake you. Grab a hold of him right now and invite him into the rest of your day. He wants to know you deeper. He wants to become progressively acquainted with you and get to that place of vulnerability that is an automatic byproduct of his unfailing love. Just come as you are. He loves you. So with that, I'm Owen Farley. Remember, keep it real, and Jesus loves you.